This is the last class of the Bible survey, and if you can answer the 100 questions, it does not mean you get more stars in your crown, but it can be something useful to you in your Bible study or in teaching others to have this general overview in your mind. Now, because we've only got about 42 or 3 minutes and we've got 100 questions, we're going to have to move rapidly. So when I ask a question, encourage people to jump right on it and answer it so we can move to the next one, okay? And we want you to do it by memory, not by looking down and reading your answers, okay? We ready to go? What are the two major divisions of the Bible? Old and New. How many books of the Bible altogether? 66. Old Testament? 39. New Testament? 27. Well, I'm not going to do the names in order. We'll catch some of that a little later. For sake of time, we'll skip those number 3 and 4 for just a moment. Which books of the New Testament are commonly called the books of law? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. All right? Just the first and last of this next question. Which books are called history? What's the first one? What's the last one?
Esther.
All right, good. And which books are called poetry? What? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. 5, right? And then, of course, the rest are prophecy. Okay, so Isaiah through Malachi, prophecy. Which of the prophets are the major prophets? Isaiah, Malachi, Zephaniah, and Romans. Isaiah, don't look down, look up there. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Alright. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And which of the books, of course, the rest of them are called the minor prophets because they're not important, correct? No, because they're smaller. Right. Alright. And New Testament. What are the biographical books? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And which is the historical book? And which are the epistles? Romans. I've got down here, I guess, doctrinal. Throwing you off there. Doctrinal. Romans through Jude. And then prophetic revelation. Remember, that's very arbitrary, but it can be helpful. Approximately how many authors wrote the Bible? 40. And when was the first book written approximately? About 1500 BC. And when was the last book written approximately? 65 to 90 AD, somewhere in that time span. Okay. All right. Here's a good challenge. Well, tell what the following books are about. Let's start with Genesis. Real brief. What's Genesis about?
Beginning.
That's right. Beginning of... Give me a couple examples.
Creation.
Okay, I think all those answers are right. All right. Universe, man, life, marriage, sin, death, etc. The Hebrew nation, the promise of the Messiah. The word, it has to do with beginnings. It's a fundamental book. All right, very good. And there's 3 divisions to the Exodus, 3 major divisions. What's the first one? The Exodus? That was pretty easy, wasn't it? What's the middle one? The law. What's the third one? Tabernacle. So that's, if you say, well, I need to study about the tabernacle. If you know that, you know where to go. So I need to study about the law. Well, no, that's in the middle of the book of Exodus. Okay. So now we do the book of Leviticus. 3 divisions on there. What's the first part? You didn't think I was going to ask that, did you? Well, okay, tell me what Leviticus is about. The Levites. Now, that was pretty easy. First part's about the sacrifices. Middle part's about the consecration of the priests. And the last part's various laws. Okay, we didn't drill a whole lot on that because of time throughout our course. What is the book of Numbers about? Let's see how you answer that one. The numbering, the census. All right, first part of the book, last part of the book. First part of the book has the last events at Sinai. Middle part of the book are the wilderness wanderings. The last part of the book are events in the plains of Moab. Okay, what is the book of Deuteronomy about? This is an easy one. Second giving of the law. So he wrote it down again and said, here, is that what the book of Deuteronomy is? It's a sermon that Moses preached to the people before they entered the land of promise. It does mean second giving of the law, but it's a sermon he preached, right? Okay, I don't think he got it in 20 minutes. All right, so Joshua, what's Joshua about? Conquering and dividing. That's right, apportioning the land. Boy, this is a hard one. The Judges. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? And then the book of Ruth. What's it about? A what? Story of Ruth. Well, what's the story of Ruth about? Is it a business she started or what? Who was she? What kind of woman? Moabite. So it's a story about Moabites?
No.
She what? That's really what it's all about. So her husband died. She followed her mother-in-law back to the land of Israel. There she married Boaz, or Boaz married her, and she became the lineage of the Messiah, which is in the last chapter, and that's really why you have the book in your Bible. But it's a great story of love there in family relations. All right, what is 1 and 2 Samuel about? I hear a lot of mumbling. Is it about who? Apostle Paul?
It's about Samuel, and it's about the anointing of the king.
All right. Samuel and
Saul
and David. That's what 1 and 2 Samuel is about. Samuel, Saul, and David. All right. And 1 and 2 Kings, what are they about?
All the way to the end of Israel.
After David, who? Solomon. And then what followed Solomon?
Divided
kingdom. That's what they're about. All right. Solomon and the divided kingdom. And when you get to 2 Kings 17, it's just the southern kingdom. All right. 1 and 2 Chronicles. What's the first part of 1 Chronicles about? That's pretty easy. Chronicles. First 9 chapters. Right? And then the rest of it is about what? Well, before the divided kingdom.
Solomon.
Solomon, and then the divided kingdom, but it focuses on which part of the divided kingdom? Judea, southern kingdom. All right. What is Ezra about? What?
Temple worship.
Ezra coming back? Who led the first return?
Zerubbabel.
About when was that?
530.
About 539 or 8, right? And the second part of Ezra is about another return. Who led that one?
Ezra.
And, okay, and then the book of Nehemiah, what is it about? What did Ezra go back for?
Reform,
teaching. He was a scribe, right? And so you have Ezra, and then you have Nehemiah. What's his book about? A third return, the rebuilding of the walls. About what time period? 445, right? Okay. So Ezra's return about when? About 458. Right? So there's your three returns. Okay? So, we've answered what Nehemiah's about. He went back to rebuild the walls around the city. So, in the first return, they laid the foundation, and then they had to have two prophets come and get them busy so they'd finish it. Who were those two prophets? Who were they? That was Apollos and Odell. I don't know if there was a prophet named Odell. Who was it? Haggai and Zechariah. Haggai and Zechariah. All right? All right. And we need another quarter on the Bible survey. All right. And then Esther. What's Esther about? What was going to happen? By the providence of God, the nation was saved. That's what the book of Esther is about. And it tells the origin of something. What is it? The Feast of Purim. That's right. Okay. This is a hard one. What's Job about? About Job. About his sufferings. About his view toward suffering. His mistaken views about suffering. God's wonderful love and grace. All right. And about maintaining moral integrity in the face of all difficulties. Great book, Book of Job. What is the Book of Psalms? Book of Songs or Psalms. That's right. Book of Songs. Also, it's called a Book of Prayers. It's also called a Book of Praises. Any one of those three. But it's a song book. About what time period do the songs in the Psalms, they're a collection of Psalms, about what time period do they cover? One is by Moses. All right. David's about 1,000. Is that about it? Moses to David, 1,500 to 1,000? After the exile. That's right. So, book covers, say, from Moses to maybe 400, 500, somewhere in there. So, covers a long period of time of collection of different songwriters. All right. And what's the book of Proverbs about? Wise saying. That's right. Ecclesiastes is about what? The Ecclesiastes brothers? Life under the sun. What about life under the sun?
Vanity.
It's all vanity. And so what do you do? What advantage, he asks, what profit is there to life under the sun? It's a great book for looking at our life under the sun. Tremendous book. Who wrote it?
Solomon.
What's Solomon's song about? What? It's a love story. How many people involved? Just three. So you got Solomon and who else? Shulamite maiden. And who else? The shepherd boy. Right. Triangle, actually. And the girl's in love with the shepherd boy, but Solomon wants her in his harem, and she's got to make a choice. Great, great story. All right. Well, the prophets, of course, are spokesmen for God. That's pretty obvious. And they were trying to get the people to serve God, back to serve God, encouraging the people. The Gospels. What's the Gospels about? That's the life of Christ. What were they written for? Just to give us a biography of the life of Christ? Build faith. Give you a grounds for faith. We're going to be talking about that in our next class period, our next series of classes. Acts, what's it about?
History.
What? History of what?
The church.
Okay, it is a history of the church. What's the title?
Acts of Apostles,
and that does talk about the church. Major two apostles particularly focus on who?
Peter and Paul.
Right. What chapters focus on Peter and what chapters focus on Paul? 1 through 12 on Peter, 13 through 28 on Paul. That doesn't mean that they're not interspersed, but that's generally the breakdown. The epistles, of course, are letters written to who? Christians and churches. Christians and churches. All right, and the book of Revelation is about what? It was written to Christians, but what it's about? What is it about? What? It's about, okay, that's the aim, to get them to overcome what? What? See, exactly. Things that were shortly to come to pass. The sufferings and trials that was on the horizon. They were enduring and they would be enduring shortly. And to enable them to overcome in the face of all those trials. That's what the book of Revelation is about. What does the title mean? revealed. It's a revelation to Jesus Christ about the things shortly to come to pass. All right. I guess we've answered question 13. All right. What are the three dispensations of the Bible? Y'all all got that, didn't you? Patriarchal, Jewish, and Christian, right? And why are they called that? Why are they called those three terms?
God's mode of dealing to each individual.
Okay, God's mode of dealing. What mode of dealing was that? Did he strike them with lightning or something, or what? Covenants. Covenants with the patriarchs. Covenants with the Jewish nation. A covenant with the Jewish nation. And a covenant with Christians. And it is what God would do. And these covenants have conditions to be met. Not all covenants do. Covenant is what God has agreed to do for man. And so these three dispensations. What does that word mean? What? A mode of dealing, a plan, an administration. It's how the manager of a house would rule his house, is what the idea. You look up the word, it's the idea. And dispense his blessings. All right, we've answered number 15. What is the covenant? Does it have condition? May it have condition to be met? What persons mark the beginning of the three dispensations? Adam, Moses, and Christ. How much time in the patriarchal dispensation? 25 in the Jewish dispensation. 1500. Can't look down. You got to look up. How much time in the Christian dispensation?
2000.
About 2000. All right. And what books in the Bible, if I wanted to study the patriarchal dispensation, what books would I study? Is that right? He's not sure. He's asking a question. Genesis through Exodus, this means about 19? Is that about right?
Yeah.
Through Exodus 19. And so if you start in Exodus 20, you got the Jewish dispensation, because what happened in Exodus 20? The giving of the national law, that covenant. And so how far would you go in the Jewish dispensation? What?
Acts 1.
That's right. In Acts 2. Christ is reigning, and you have the Christian dispensation. Okay, what is the work of a prophet? A what?
Spokesman
for God. Great answer. What is the work of a priest?
Stand between man and God.
Stand between man and God. So if God wants to talk to man, what does he use? If man wants to go to God, what does he use? A priest. All right. Why is man unique in God's creation? What? Made in the image of God. That's it. That means God has two arms and stands on two legs like we do, right?
Spirit being.
The potential to conceive of abstract things, moral choices, an eternal soul, made in the image of God. It's something you can't see, but it's very evident we're different from the animal kingdom. All right, and... Okay, these are easy. We ought to be able to buzz through these quickly. All the young people ought to know these. Who's the first man and woman?
Adam and Eve.
All right, and why did Adam die? What? I think I heard the right answer. Because Eve killed him, right? Because of his sin, right? And God said, you eat the tree, you're going to die. Now, did he die just physically?
No.
Die spiritually. Separation from God. What is sin?
Transgression
of God's law. Is lying sin?
Yes.
Is deceiving sin?
Yes.
Look like sin would be something like murder.
Sin.
Any transgression of law, sin, right? All right, we've answered question 25. What consequences are suffered by the human race due to the first man's sin? Of course, there's physical death, and also when man sinned. Now, that's the physical death and suffering. But what's the penalty each person suffers for his own sin? Separation from God. Loss of fellowship with God. Because God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Your sins have separated between you and your God, Isaiah said. Okay. Where's the first promise of a Redeemer found? Genesis 3:15. That's right. And who were the sons of the first couple? Cain and Abel. What happened to the youngest? Murdered by Cain. Who took his place in the lineage? Seth. Right. Where do you read about the generation of Seth? That's not on here? That's over in Deuteronomy 32, right? About Genesis 5. Okay? All right. Who's the next most important, very important person you read about in the Bible? Four chapters about him. Noah. That's right. And who were his sons? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Right. And are you a descendant of one of those guys?
Yes,
yes you are. Everybody is. That's right. Okay. Which of these three boys is the one through whom Christ came? Shem, right? Okay. Who's the next important person you read about in the Bible? The first Hebrew?
Abraham.
What chapter?
12.
You can say 12 or 11. It's actually right at the end of 11. 12 is where he really began to develop it. 11 or 12. Abraham, the first Hebrew. Who was his wife?
Sarah.
What command did he receive from God about where to live? Go to the land, I will show you. Do you know where that was?
No.
Did not know. Well, why would he go somewhere you don't even know where it's at?
Faith.
Faith. That's right. He built a big house there, right, in Canaan?
No.
No, he lived in tents the rest of his life because he couldn't afford a house, right?
No.
No, he was a wealthy man. What was he looking for?
Better
the heavenly country. That's right. Hebrews 11. All right, so okay, he was. I say I've already answered, asked that one. Number 37. What are the three promises contained in the notable covenant God made with him?
Land, nation,
seed. And a seed promise. Talking about who?
Christ.
Where is it found?
Genesis 12.
Genesis 12. Look, that's important. The rest of your Bible echoes that promise. The rest of your Bible grows out of Genesis chapter 3. Sin, the promise of a Redeemer. That's why these are so important. All right. So, we've already answered 38. And that land promised to his physical descendants of Canaan. Who is his son by his wife's maid?
Ishmael.
And who was the maid's name? Hagar. And who was the son by promise? Isaac. Who was his mother?
Sarah.
Who are Isaac's sons? Jacob and Esau. Okay. And Jacob was the oldest. Is that right?
No.
Esau. That's right. So as the oldest, he had what? The birthright. That's right. Okay. And who are the names of Jacob's wives?
Rachel and Leah.
Who was the pretty one?
Rachel.
Who was probably the better woman?
Leah.
Okay. And he had to work 7 days to get them, didn't he? He ended up working total for Laban 20 years, didn't he? He had to wait 20 years to get the women, but 7 years on the layaway plan and 7 years on the installment plan, and then another 6 years. Okay. Who are the children of Israel, and where do they get that name?
Children of Jacob.
Children of Jacob. Well, I thought it was, this says children of Israel. God changed his name to Israel. What's the E-L?
God.
Power with God or Prince with God. That's right. We're not going to name Jacob's 12 sons for sake of time. You all know those by heart anyway. Y'all could rattle them off, can't you? All right. And then Number 46. Jacob's 12 sons became the head of what? 12 tribes. How did they come to live in Egypt? What story?
Joseph.
The story of Joseph. Who led them out of Egypt?
Moses.
Who was the deliverer's brother? Aaron. Who was his sister?
Miriam.
Good. What is the name he led them to but not into? Canaan. Where did that come up before?
Abraham.
Genesis 12. That's right. How many years approximately between Abraham and Moses leading them into the land? That's question number 50A. About when did Abraham live? 2000. About when did Moses live and lead him into the promised land? About 1500. About 500 years. Okay. Where was the law of Moses given? The geographical location. Mount Sinai. That's right. We've already answered when, about 1500. To whom was it given? What nation? Jewish nation. That's a very important question. It wasn't given to us. I don't remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I don't have to go to Jerusalem three times a year for sacrifices given to the nation of Israel. Why was it given? Paul said the reason for it being given in the book of Galatians. What? Because of transgressions. To remind them that they needed an atonement. They were guilty for their sins. And they needed a sacrificial atonement. And it pointed to Christ. All right. And so it was intended to last until when?
Something better.
Until something better? Okay. Paul puts it this way, until the seed should come in Galatians 3. The seed being those redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Okay. And why did people have to wander in the wilderness? What?
Disbelief.
Unbelief. They failed to believe what? You can conquer the land. That's right. God said you can conquer it. How? Man, they got walled cities and soldiers, gates. You trust. That's right. Power of God. You trust God. You trust God. I don't know how. I don't have to know how, but trust God. That's the key. That has a big bearing on you and me as Christians. God makes promises to us. I don't know how He's going to keep them. You just trust God. All right. How long did they have to wander in the wilderness?
40 years.
Who led the people in the promised land? Joshua. How were they governed after they entered the land? Who were the first three kings of the nation of Israel?
Saul,
David, and Solomon. Boy, we're on a roll. How long did each reign?
40 years.
Under what ruler did the kingdom divide? Not Solomon.
Rehoboam.
Under Rehoboam. That's right. About when? 931. Who said that? Good. Whoever said it, good. 931 B.C. All right. What period do the prophetic books fall into? Do they fall into the divided or undivided kingdom? The divided kingdom. All right. So you got your prophetic books over here at the end of your Old Testament. They don't fit way back in Genesis or Exodus or Leviticus. They fit into the period of the divided kingdom. You know that, you're much better adept at handling your Bible. All right? So, furthermore, just because they're at the end doesn't mean it happened after all that stuff you've been reading. You know, about when these books were, the events that these books are talking about. Okay, who's the first king of each segment of the divided kingdom?
Jeroboam
and Rehoboam, right? Okay. And what notable messianic promise was made to the second king of the United Kingdom? Someone said on his throne. Who is that guy?
David.
David. Why is it important to know about that promise? What was Jesus called in the book of Matthew? Son of David. So why is he son of David? Man, Jesus lived in the first century. David lived 1,000 years before. The descendant of David goes back to what chapter is that promise found? 2 Samuel 7. So these basic things in the Old Testament set the stage for your study of the New Testament, and understanding that ties these things together. All right. What was the northern division called?
Israel.
And there's another name, Ephraim. What was the southern division called?
Judah.
When did the northern kingdom end? Everybody loves dates. About 722 or 21, that's right. What nation conquered them and took them captive? Assyria. When was the southern kingdom taken to captivity approximately?
606.
There's actually three dates, isn't there? What's the first time? 605 or 6. What's the second time? About 597 or 8. And then what's the third time? 586. That's right. And in 586, what happened that completely demolished them? The temple was destroyed. That's right. Okay. Where were they taken?
Babylon.
That's right. Who was the leader of the army and nation that conquered them? Nebuchadnezzar. Where else do you read about that guy? Book of Daniel. He was one of the captives. That's right. Who led the first return from captivity? We talked about that. That was Ezra, right?
Zerubbabel.
That's right. About 530. It depends on the dates, but we've been saying 539 or 8. Now you could use 536 or 7. Who led the second return? Ezra. About when? 458. Third return? Nehemiah. About 100 B.C. Is that right? 445 B.C. Okay, good. About when was the last Old Testament book written?
400.
About 400. So there's a period of silence between Malachi and your New Testament. All right, what are the six world empires concurrent with Scripture history? What's the first one?
Egypt.
What?
Egypt.
Israel.
No.
What's the second one?
Assyria.
And what's the four in Nebuchadnezzar's dream? Babylon, Persia, Grecian, and Roman. That's four world empires concurrent Bible history. Israel was not a world power. They're not considered that. So those are the six. That's the one that you'll find. That's the background of the things you read in your Bible. Okay. Where was Christ born? Why is that strange? He didn't live there. And is that was a big, great, important city. That's where you want a king born, right? No, very little place. That's right. Well, how would he ever end up in a place like that in the first place?
Going for a census.
Going for a census, right? She was pregnant, had the baby. Okay, and that's when Christmas started, right? Not hardly. All right. And who was Christ's mother?
Mary.
Mary, who was his legal but not fleshly father.
Joseph.
So who was his fleshly father?
He didn't have one.
He did not have one. No fleshly father. Born of a virgin. That's right. Who was Christ's forerunner?
John
the Baptist. How long did Christ's ministry last?
3 years.
3 plus years, 3 and a half. How old was he when he died?
33.
About 33. Where was he crucified?
Golgotha.
Golgotha. That's right. Just outside Jerusalem. And why did he die?
Jealousy.
What?
Jealousy.
That's not a bad answer. I want to know the purpose of it.
Take away our sins.
Take away our sins. That's right. Take away our sins. Could he have stopped it? Yes, he could have, but he loved us so much. He died for you and he died for me. Well, I owe him. I owe him everything. You know, people talk, what am I going to do with my life? There is no higher purpose than to say thank you to that Savior every day you live. By the choices you make, by what you do with your time and your energies. He died for you and for me so we could live. Yes, Ennis? He died because God wanted him to, but there was a purpose in it. To save man's soul. That's right. And he wanted to. I mean, Father wanted to. He wanted to. Spirit wanted him to. Godhead was united in that. All right. When was he raised? What day of the week? First day of the week. That's right. And that's what Sunday means, right? Resurrection from the dead. What is Sunday? What? Yeah, it's from an idol. Sun god. It's not something you find in the Bible. Sunday. First day of the week. Later, first day of the week came to be called Sunday. You say, how in the world can I use a name that's associated with idolatry? If somebody asks you that, where could you turn in your Bible to show that even though idolatrous names serve to define things we talk about, that you can still serve God?
Daniel.
What?
Daniel.
Who?
Daniel and his friends.
That's right. When they went to Babylon, they were given idolatrous names. Names of idols. But they didn't become idolaters. Very good. All right. What is the evidence of his resurrection? Three things. One is what? The empty tomb. What else? The apostles' witness. And what else? The miracles they worked. That will establish the resurrection. The empty tomb, the apostles' witness, and the miracles they worked in confirmation of their testimony. We'll be talking some more about that, if the Lord is willing, in our next series of classes. What is the quote-unquote church? A body of what? Church means body of saved people? Church does not mean body of saved people. It just means body of people. That's all it means. But if I put of Christ on it, now what am I saying? People that are saved in Christ. That's right. But church don't mean saved people. Just a body of people. All right. Yeah.
Question number 86.
Question what?
86. What is the total church? You just say people.
Church is people. Isn't that what I said? I thought I said that. That's back when you were taking a nap, I think. No, I may not have. Thank you, Wally. People. Church is always people. That's right. Thank you, Wally. That's good. And what is the church founded?
Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ. Where do you find that? What? John 20 says the church is founded on Christ. Matthew 16, 16 through 18. On this rock I'll build my church. That's right. When did the kingdom of Christ begin? When he ascended and sat down at the right hand of God, that's when it happened. I don't know the exact moment, but that's when it happened. That's what kingdom is, his rule. We're not going to do number 89. Hope you know the names of the original 12 apostles. Were there any additional apostles? Paul and Matthias. That's right. Okay, and who betrayed Jesus?
Judas.
Who replaced him? Well, that's pretty easy, wasn't it? Who was the apostle to the Gentiles?
Paul.
What was his other name?
Saul.
All right, brief outline of Acts. 3 points. What is it? What? Brief outline of Acts. What? Y'all heard that right there, Joanne. You heard him, didn't you? But he's right. 1-7, the apostles, Jesus said they're going to be witnesses, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit to equip them to do that. First, 1-7, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then, Jerusalem, then 8-12, Judea and Samaria, and 13 through the end of the earth. Okay, those three divisions will capture the idea of Acts. Who's the first Gentile convert? Cornelius. Where is his conversion recorded? 10 and 11, right. What books of the New Testament are commonly called the Synoptics, and why are they called the Synoptics? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Why are they called Synoptics? Similar view of the life of Christ. That's right. So they serve to be interpretive of one another. Fill in data. Very useful to know that. All right. What books of the New Testament are commonly called the pastoral books?
2 Timothy and Titus.
That's correct. And what books in the New Testament call the prison epistles?
Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and
Philemon. How many books of the New Testament did the Apostle Paul write?
13.
How many did John write?
Five.
And we made it in 45 minutes. Thank you for your good participation. I didn't know if we'd get through all of these. Thank you very much.